Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
Wish that you could be inside my head for just an hour, just a day, just to see how it feels. Worried about the shoes I wear. Damn bad. I was so damn bad.
Welcome to Look at My Records. What's today's date? December 22nd, 2018, here on Radio Free Brooklyn. We kicked off the show with a song by my guest today, Lenny Zenith. It's the title track off of his brand new solo album, which came out in June of this year, What If the Sun? And then we played The Anchor by the Minutemen, set off of What Makes a Man Start Fires. Sadly, it is the 33rd anniversary of Dennis Boone's untimely passing, of course, the guitar player of the legendary band The Minutemen, and he is definitely missed. But here I am with Lenny Zenith today. It's great to have you here. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm a little bit fuzzy after last night's gig, but I'm happy to be here.
How'd the gig go?
It went well. We really, we're down to a power trio, even though we had a lot of guests on our actual record, and we're going to be adding another member soon. But it was good. We played with some bands that we'd never played with, and at the new refurbished Coney Island Baby, which is very cool.
Yeah, it's a great spot. They kept a lot of the same charm that the place had previously as Hi-Fi. I'd never been to it as Brownies, but right. It was Brownies before that. But I'm excited to have you here. Tell me a little bit about, before we get into your new record, What If the Sun, someone that I know through the taping community described you as a New Orleans punk legend, Jonathan Wolf. I don't know if you know this guy.
Oh, no. Yeah, I do know Jonathan real well. So, he may have recorded that XTC show, as
yeah,
a matter of fact.
So he's a guy that I know through the taping community. But tell me a little bit about your roots in music coming up in the New Orleans music scene in the early 80s. How'd you start playing music in bands?
It's really crazy because my dad was a preacher. My mom was from Cuba, and she's a pianist and a singer. And so I listen to a lot of church music. I don't know. And then I stumbled across a woman named Lee Harris, whose record I just put out. She goes by Little Queenie. Really awesome blues, jazz, rock singer who had this really inimitable style. And I was inspired by her and tried to imitate her for a long time because she just had this real soul. And then I started to go out to see punk bands because I was in a music program at the creative arts school, NOCA. And I saw this band, The Normals, which are legendary in New Orleans as like the definitive punk band of New Orleans. They should have been huge. They were the closest that we got to, Undertones, Clash, Pistols, Ramones. I mean, but they were just uniquely excellent. And they had great vocals and they rocked. They had a great sound, but they also had great melodies. And they could get the crowd just rocking. And I said, I want to do that. I don't want to go to music school. I don't want to play jazz. I don't want to, study theory. I want to do that. And so then I just put together these little three-piece, four-piece bands with whoever I could find, and we got lucky. People liked what we were doing. It was kind of a little bit offbeat. And then we started getting invited to open for all these bands, like XTC and, Ian Hunter and Ultravox and Gang of Four. And, like I had no idea how big these bands would become and how legendary they would become. Influential.
Tell me about some of your earlier projects. I've really been diving into listening to your solo record that you put out this year, but also checking out some of the stuff you were involved in early on in your career. There's a great YouTube clip of you playing on Public Access TV in New Orleans, Lenny Zenith and Pop Combo, and also RZA. What type of music were you playing? It sounded a little more pop oriented, the combo, something more along the lines of it reminded me of The Individuals, which is a Hoboken band from back in the day, stuff like that.
I don't know The Individuals, but, I always kind of cringe a little bit when people call me punker. I think what was punk about it was, like, my early stuff is that it was raw. None of us really knew how to play. It was always loud, and but we were never that edgy. I'd always wanted to be more edgy, but because I came from a pop radio background or AM radio background, my stuff always ended up sounding really pop. So it was definitely more on the new wave tip. But I'm playing still with the Pop Combo guys from New Orleans. We have a show on Friday. But it's now it's actually coming back into vogue, that sound. So it kind of works out because we're a little bit harder than we used to be because we got better amps and better guitars and we can play, but we still maintain some of the, you know, pop charm of, you know.
It's funny because it definitely is coming back into vogue. You hear a lot of bands, especially in Brooklyn, have that like jangle sound to them and stuff.
Absolutely.
Kind of like channeling that. But so you started out in New Orleans and then you wound up in New York. You had a band called Jennifer Convertible and a couple of other projects. What was your path to get to New York, basically? How'd you wind up here?
Well, I had just broken up with a girl and I had to get out of town. And I moved here and I didn't know what exactly to do. So I just looked in the Time Village Voice and ended up in a rockabilly band playing, rehearsing the Music Building, but I was still writing my own music, which, as it was pointed out to me, sounded dated. I was like, well, yeah, I was playing in the 80s and now it's the 90s. And I, you know, I kind of stopped listening to college radio and independent radio for a while, just out of frustration with, you know, having been a musician for so long and still having to work a desk job. So I kept writing my own music and I started to meet these people on the New York scene and playing, you know, clubs like Kenny's Castaways and the Red Lion, which, you know, where you start off. But what I really want to do was play at Brownies and CBGB's, you know. And yeah. I was like, how can I, you know, get up to that? You know, and so I just started listening back to some music that I had missed out on. And the sounds of New York, because it's so gritty and grimy and loud and noisy, just kind of permeated the writing process. And I think that came out in the music. And then a lot of the guys that I ended up playing with would turn me on to bands that I hadn't heard before. And so I just kind of played all of that into Jennifer Convertible. And then we were lucky enough to record with Wharton Tears, who, of course, Helmet,
Wow. Yeah.
Sonic Youth, early Sonic Youth, Dinosaur Jr., Quicksand, bands that I was listening to at the time.
So. That's awesome. Yeah, Wharton Tears. Wow, that's really
so
cool.
So the, you know, the noisiness of the 90s sort of got married to the poppiness of what I was doing in the 80s. And I feel really fortunate to have had a, you know, pretty decent career in New Orleans, opening for all these bands. I mean, the Replacements, Iggy Pop, U2, and then having another life in the 90s playing with, you know, all the East Village people and play at CBGB's and go to, you know, Canada and Washington, you know, so.
Tell me about what those experiences were like early in your career opening for all of these bands playing with. I read you played with U2 on a boat.
Yeah, on right? a riverboat.
On a riverboat. XTC, X, The Gun Club. Or these are just a lot of the bands that
you played with
in the 80s. How did it feel to play with those bands so early in your career? And what did you take away from it?
Well, you didn't know at the time, you know, when these bands came through, the Replacements came through in, I think, their parents' white station wagon, and they drew a pretty good crowd. I was working at a record store at the time, and this guy booked us, and they were so loud that after we played our set, everybody...
drunk, right?
And drunk, yeah. After we played our set, everybody left the club and listened to them from outside because it was just blisteringly loud. Yeah. So that was left an impression for sure. And you didn't know that. Well, I knew who Iggy Pop was, and the woman I was dating at the time was friends with him and said, oh, can my boyfriend open for you? And he's like, sure. And nicest guy, great set. And that was on a riverboat too. And he just, Carlos Alomar is playing guitar, and he was wearing a black mini dress with a spider on it, garter belts and pantyhose. And at one point he just, you know, ripped the dress in half and he's standing there in bikini underwear. And, you know, you're thinking, wow, okay, this guy is a legend. And this was even before he was a legend because we're talking, you know, almost 30 years ago. So you thought, you know, when you saw these bands getting huge and touring, you're like, oh, that's what I want to do. I wish that I could do that. But things happen and, you know, people don't exactly get what you do. I think the songwriting was pretty strong, but people had a hard time categorizing me, I think, you know, because I just write so many different kinds of songs, I guess.
Yeah. And tell me, fast forward to 2018, mm-hmm. you put out your first solo record, even though you've had a long career playing in bands. Tell me why'd you decide to release a solo record at this point in your career?
That's a good question. I had been, you know, pretty much the writer, the sole writer, the primary writer, at least. At Jennifer Convertible, we became a lot more collaborative towards the end. I'd been the sole writer, and I had, had RZA, and I had Minor Planets, and I had Tenterhooks, and I had Jennifer Convertible. And I said, you know what? People know who Lenny Zenith is. People in New Orleans know Lenny Zenith, and unfortunately, they don't know Lenny Zenith here in New York, so our draw hasn't been as good as it was under Jennifer Convertible. But I'm also writing a memoir about my life as a transgender man. And I was hoping that the two would kind of feed each other.
And so the record does delve into some of those things about your identity. Talk about that a little bit and why you wanted to get it out there on the record.
Well, it's never been my primary writing inspiration. You know, I do write about myself a lot. And, you know, I don't know why. And so my life experience as a transgender man informs the stuff I write about. But I thought that I should be more vocal about it. And, you know, there's only like a couple of lines and a couple of songs that actually touch on that. But my entire life experience as a transgender person informs my writing. Now, Jennifer Convertible did have what my friend called once the first transgender anthem, the Car Song, which was a big, you know, pretty popular song on the college radio back in the 90s. And it says, you know, I used to be a car, Detroit factory Chevrolet, new parts and body work make me what I am today. And it's a sort of but roundabout, you know, as opposed to, you know, maybe, Laura, she's against me. I can't think of her name right now.
Jane Grace.
Came out with, you know, Tranny Blues, you know, and Ryan Otto Casada came out with something called Daughter that's doing really well. It's not been specifically about being trans.
And you also put this record out on your own label, XYYX Records, with a focus on elevating voices of other trans artists. How important is that to you to make sure these voices are elevated and heard?
I think it's really important because so many people don't understand the transgender experience. And even in the queer community, there are some people that still are put off by it or don't get it. And there are a lot of very talented, non-binary, gender non-conforming people who are doing some really great art. And I thought, you know what, if I can create a small home for some of those people, although not exclusively, I will do what I can. I don't have a budget really to speak of, but I do know how to promote records, and I do know how to, you know, put them online and get them out into the store. So right after my record was released, this brilliant artist from Bournemouth, England, Ethereal, her name is Yui Carlberg, sent me her stuff, and I was wowed. It's very ambient, very ethereal, as her name persona suggests. It reminded me a little bit of Sigur Rós and maybe Bon Iver and a couple of other artists. And I just thought, this is really great and I have to put it out. And the quality of it, as a solo artist, she did all the parts herself and had it recorded by someone there in Bournemouth, England. And it's doing fairly well. I mean, I'm just very impressed with her artistry, and I hope to find other trans artists. Even though my friend Little Queenie is not transgender, she's been very supportive of me my entire life and very inspirational to me. And now that she's in hospice, I felt very fortunate to be able to put out her record, Purple Heart.
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. And what are the future plans for the label? Any other releases coming up next year? We're about to turn the page to 2019, so...
I don't know. I'm still looking for artists, to be honest, that would be interested in working with me. I've had a couple other reach out. I'm just poring over their material because I want it to be good.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's gender cross-gender, cross-genre. So I don't care, you know, if it's classical or ambient or folk or punk, you know, but I would like, you know, it to be good music.
That's awesome. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you put out next through the label. Let's play some songs from your new record, What If the Sun.
Thank
you. We played the title track at the top, What If the Sun, to start the program out. But I have Stress Test, Sunday Dress, and Whatever Stella queued up. Three of my favorite songs from the record. I really like Stress Test a lot.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about those songs. Is that your girlfriend's favorite?
Yeah, it is. You know, Stress Test is about the... Where are you from originally?
New York.
Okay, so it's about the stress of living in New York, you know, and not being able to get together with the band because it's snowing, or this guy had another gig, or it's raining, or... you know, and you have to start over again, you know, and you say, let's not think too much about how we screwed up last time. Let's just keep moving forward. And New York in and of itself is a stress test.
Yeah, oh, for sure. For sure. But we're passing, I think, with Flying Colors.
I think we're doing pretty good, just that we're here on a Saturday.
Yeah. And then Sunday Dress and Whatever Stella.
Sunday Dress is actually about Detroit. I wrote it when I was in a band called Minor Planets, and I just had to re-record it because it's never been released. And it's about, you know, the struggle of working and unemployment, you know, and a lot of people are struggling with that, and, you know, harassment on the workplace and people just trying to get by.
Yeah.
You know, in a workaday life, working class life.
And Whatever Stella to round out the set.
That one's a tough one because I can't call out the person that it's about.
Gotcha.
But, you know, some people like to have a little bit of control and can be mean to you, you know, and manipulative when they're trying to get what they want. And that's when I just kind of wave them off and say, whatever, Stella.
Well, no one's going to be saying whatever, Stella, to you after they hear these three awesome songs.
Great,
by the
you.
Way. And I'm looking forward to sharing these three songs with everyone. We got Stress Test, Sunday Dress, and Whatever Stella off of Lenny Zenith's 2018 solo album, What If the Sun. Everyone could get that through Bandcamp, right? Lenny
Zenith. And iTunes and Amazon and Google.
And
yeah.
It's available for streaming on Spotify as well. Your Bandcamp, LennyZenith.bandcamp.com.
That's it.
Awesome. Yeah. It's available on vinyl, CD, digital download. Here we go. Enjoy Stress Test, everyone.
It's like I never see your face. You've got mountains of work to do. It'd be so easy if we just make time. I check my email every 10 and English every 5. You'd never think I'm insecure as a child.
time. Everybody thinks you're fine. Nobody can imagine
your frustration.
You wear your Sunday dress. It's got a hole of tear. There's nothing you can pull. They call that it's such a bloody mess. It's such a bloody mess. Despite your willingness, the party's over. The locker doors are going away. All of the keys are going away at the railway station. There's no one working in the factory.
Whatever Stella by Lenny Zenith. We just heard three tracks from solo album, but who are you playing with? Tell me. who's well, in your band right now?
Yeah, I have to definitely give props to the players. James Pertusi, who's one of my dearest friends, and you know, we've played together for years. He was in Jennifer Convertible. He does a bang-up job, and he sings on this. And then the drummer, Scott Campbell, who's been hanging in there with me since Tenterhooks days. And then Ben Collins flew in from Ypsilanti, Michigan to lay down some guitar tracks. And Ray Ketchum, who produced it, who I've also been friends with and worked with a lot in the 90s, he's in a great band called Elk City. Rene Labou, who is also in Elk City, came and hung out in the studio. And they both brought this really positive, uplifting energy to the sessions. I saw them last night and thanked them for everything they brought to the record because they're immensely creative. So it was a collaborative process where it became not just me, it was them saying, well, wait a minute, why don't you try that? And then Renee would get up and sing some vocals, harmonies. And then we'd throw in a tambourine part. And then they're like, oh, let me call the keyboard player. And, oh, Claudia Chopek, she plays violin. Let's bring her in. And it just became this organic kind of creative endeavor. And that's what came out.
Yeah, and it sounds great. Again, you. We heard Stress Test, Sunday Dress, Whatever Stella. Shout out to all those wonderful people that contributed to this great record. And now we're transitioning to the second part of the program where you picked some records from my record collection. And we're going to talk about them. And we're going to play some songs from them. Starting off with Bandwagon-esque by Teenage Fan Club. I believe you selected Metal Baby. Great song from the record.
Yeah.
And we were talking how a lot of bands, this sound is coming back into vogue for sure, that teenage fan club kind of power pop, indie pop sound.
Yeah, I'm glad that I stuck with it because now I'll get to ride the third wave of this kind of music, you know, power pop making a big comeback.
Yeah,
lately.
And tell me, how much you like, do you love Teenage Fan Club? Do you remember when you first heard them? Stuff like that?
Yeah, a friend of mine turned me on to them, and, you know, along about the same time as the Posies. And I loved the idea, again, of this pure pop sound with these heavy guitars that, you know, sort of telegraph this intensity. That reminded me in some ways of the Normals. You know, it was like very hooky, great
Super
harmonies.
Hooky, yeah.
Great harmonies, which I'm a sucker for. And then this balls to the wall, like guitar sound that, you know, often has been tried to be imitated, but not everybody succeeds. So it definitely creates a mood when you put those elements together. And plus, they were really cute.
Yeah, they were. They're a band of cuties for sure.
They were.
And I think they still are cute.
No, just kidding, guys. I saw them recently, maybe a couple of years ago in Brooklyn. And I don't know. I don't think the club let them turn up loud enough. That was my opinion.
At Warsaw, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That my friend Holy Tunics, we were talking about them during the break. Open. That's the show that
they opened for them.
Yeah. Great local band. Check them out. Butter Dish is their album that came out this year. It's awesome.
Oh, let's check that one out later.
For sure. And after that, I was very happy with this selection because XTC is one of my absolute favorite bands. This is the demos of Apple Venus Volume 1, which came out in 1999. They released a demo album of all the demos for that and the companion album that came out shortly after Apple Venus Volume 2.
Right.
There's demos, both of them available. And you picked I Liked That, which is a great, great song from this record. You got to open for XTC in 1980. Definitely a very different sounding band as to what's on this record back then.
Sure.
But what was that like? What was it like playing with XTC at that time?
I barely had an idea of who they were. I think Helicopter and Making Plans for Nigel were big on the radio at the time, and I loved that. And Ed White, who was booking the Old Man Rivers in New Orleans, called and said, hey, you know, do you want to open for this band from England? And I was like, yeah. And it was very intimidating because we just had our kind of very simplistic poppy punk songs. And you know, I think because I had gone to music school, they had a little bit of a twist to them that separated from the rest and were a little bit quirky. But then when XTC got on stage and they played, which I was able to find a recording of that exact show online, I was amazed and even more in awe of them before, because I think at this point a lot of people realize the intricacy of their writing and their musicality and Andy Partridge's talent. But at the time, I was a little too young and too green to realize what I was witnessing at the time. And
I had the same experience with XTC. Interesting enough, I had my late uncle tried to turn me on to them when I was maybe 12 or 13 years old with Apple Venus Volume 1, because it had just come out, 99 around when I was that age, and I just didn't get it. But
no.
He was like, you'll get it when you're older. And I certainly got it when I was older in a huge way. And you were also saying that listening to the demos on this song kind of reminds you of your own songwriting process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, repeat that.
You said listening to this record, I'd like that. You said it kind of reminds you of your own songwriting process.
Yeah, because if you listen to these demos, you know, a lot of writers would never put something out like that, but you know, they are very meticulous in what they do. I'm a little bit more sloppy, but you know, most songs start off with this very rough process where you spin up the tape, press the cassette record and play button, or turn on the computer now. And it's this very raw process of just laying stuff out, to see how it's going to sound, you know, and then you add harmonies and, you know, sometimes you add too much. There can be such a thing as too many good ideas.
Yeah.
So what this demonstrates is, you know, how to be judicious and how to pick the right things. And that's, you know, the artistry and what they do.
For sure. And after that, you picked Touch Me, I'm Sick. It's actually a Sonic Youth cover of Touch Me, I'm Sick, the Mudhoney song. It's a split 12-inch where they each covered each other's songs.
Yeah.
So,
do you remember a band called Archers of Loaf?
Yes, I love them.
I love Archers of Loaf. Yeah. And I was lucky enough to see them play with Mudhoney at Maxwell's.
Oh, wow.
And it was just a tremendous show. I mean, it was packed to the rafters, but the sound was incredible. And, you know, you just can't encapsulate the sound of that time and the feeling of that time any better, I think, than that song.
Yeah, for sure. And then we're wrapping it up with a song from the new Stephen Malkmus record that came out earlier this year. It's a great record. It's really one of my favorite of his solo records, I'd say. He really outdid himself.
And did you have any song in particular?
I like Middle America.
Yeah, the single. It's a great
single.
Awesome song. I agree completely.
Best friend turned me on to that. And, you know, it's whenever Malkmus does a record, it just reminds you of Pavement, obviously, all the time. But, you know, he's just got his own style.
What a guy.
What a guy.
What a guy. All right, here we go with Lenny's picks. We've got Teenage Fan Club, Metal Baby, XTC, demo version of Like That, of I'd Like That, Sonic Youth covering Touch Me, I'm Sick by Mudhoney, and Middle America by Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks off of his new record, Sparkle Hard. Hey, we'll be back in a little bit. Enjoy these tunes. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
There we go.
Got her finger around the trigger of her gun. something maybe called I Like That in A.
Done. I would have Hector if you'd be hella. stops until you do. Blame stops until you do. Do your major duty and call right back again. Time gets to me and I. The heir apparent just might try. You know you should be winning. Time won't wait for you. Crush me back to where I belong. Hold me down with an anchor strong. Fill me up till I overflow.
All right, Lenny, thank you so much for being here today. It was a pleasure having you. You've got your memoir coming out next year, you were telling me.
I do. I've been working on it for a long time, and just about when I was about to let it go, my good friend Heather came up and said, you realize there's still a lot of mistakes in here? She's a copy editor. Yeah. So, yes, very soon.
Next year, and if you want Lenny's album, What If the Sun, along with stuff by RZA, Jennifer Convertible, LennyZenith.bandcamp.com, his solo album is also available on all streaming platforms. Lenny, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
And we're going to remember Joe Strummer today, who passed away in 2003 on this date. Here's a Clash song, Career Opportunities, one of my favorites. We'll see you next week.
Never knock. Every job I offer used to keep you up the dock. Career opportunity, the one that never knock. I hate the army and I hate the RAF. I don't wanna go fighting in the jungle. I hate the slave on this room. I won't open that bomb for you. Career opportunity, the one that never knock.
Every job they offer used to kick you off the dock. Career opportunity, the one that never never knock. Every job they offer used to kick you out the door. Career opportunity, the one that never knocks.